You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A window has opened that takes us back over 132 years. This time travel window is the wreck of the JS Seaburns. This freighter sank in May 1884 in Lake Superior, and there she lay undiscovered until last summer. Dan Fountain did all the detective work that helped a team of divers find this shipwreck, and boy, the Seaburns turned out to be astonishingly well-preserved. Dan, what was the Seaburns' job, and what was she carrying, and where was she going?
The Seaburns was carrying supplies and provisions for the contractors that were building the Canadian Pacific Railroad. It was also carrying some heavy freight for a couple of businesses on the north shore of Lake Superior.
So what can you tell us, what do we know about what happened that day in May of 1884? Why did she go down?
The Seaburns was on her maiden voyage from Chicago to the North Shore. Her first port of call was Michipicoten Harbor. The Seaburns pulled into Michipicoten Harbor, unloaded part of her freight, and as she was backing out near midnight on the night of the 12th, she ran into some rocks, put a hole in her bottom. The captain tried to beach the vessel some distance from the port, but was unable to make it to shore, and the vessel sank.
But we can talk about this shipwreck and not feel bad because everybody made it off, right?
Correct. Even though this was a cold night in the middle or in the early part of May on Lake Superior, there were no lives lost. It was a calm night, and all 15 crew and 45 passengers were able to get into the lifeboats and get safely to shore.
Dan, in the intervening years, had anyone tried to find her and salvage her, or did she just kind of slip off everybody's radar screen, so to speak?
Within the first year after the sinking, one of the people who owned material on the vessel tried to have it salvaged. He sent a salvage crew out to locate the vessel. They thought they located it, but it was in deep water and no salvage was ever done. After that, the wreck was basically forgotten for 130-some years.
And then what piqued your interest? What got you saying, you know what, I'm going to try to figure out where the Seaburns went down?
The first clue I had to the wreck was a 1906 chart of Lake Superior. Looking over the chart and just looking at a few of the features on the wreck and a few of the wreck symbols that were marked on this chart, I noticed up in the far northeast corner of Lake Superior a shipwreck symbol and notation, the wreck of the Saffron. Well, that my interest piqued and looked in the usual sources trying to find information about the Saffron. Never found anything. Turns out a few years later I learned about the wreck of the J.S. Seaburns and put two and two together, realized this was the same wreck, and here was an X on the chart showing us right where it should be.
So you did all the detective work, but you didn't actually dive, correct?
That's correct. I haven't been diving in a few years, and this is deep enough that you don't want to go in diving in that kind of depth when you're out of practice, let's say.
So what was the feeling like when the dive team hit the bullseye? There was a J.S. Seaburns who'd been undisturbed all these years.
I think we were all amazed at the condition of the wreck. Even though the upper cabins, which were lightly constructed, had collapsed, the lower cabins, which were part of the original build of the vessel, were very sturdily built and still intact. We were able to look into some of the crew accommodations. We were able to look into the galley and see dishes still on the shelves. This is one of the best preserved shipwrecks that I've ever seen.
Dan, could such a well-preserved shipwreck be found in other Great Lakes, do you think?
The beauty of finding shipwrecks in Lake Superior is the lack of marine growth. Over the last 20 years or so, zebra mussels and quagga mussels, which are invasive species from Europe, have taken over the lower lakes. And what these mussels like to do is grow and anchor themselves to any solid substrate, including shipwrecks. So the shipwrecks in Lake Superior are clean versus the ones in Lake Huron, Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, all of which are totally encrusted and in many cases obscured by these mussels.
To have a ship that sank that was not destroyed, fairly intact, it's just good luck that it happened in Superior, that here you can all these years later look at it and say, look, we can see the plates.
Yeah, it's definitely a time capsule. This is a snapshot of this moment in time. You can see things that were obviously, these were not just a few dishes. This is a crate of dishes being hauled up there for the Canadian Pacific Railroad. There are broken open boxes of what we took a while to identify what this stuff was. It's actually boxes of salt pork that have burst open, and that salt pork still survives after all these years. So this was the provisions for the people building the railroad.
Wow, the salt pork survived. That says a lot about preservation, doesn't it?
It does. That and the preservative qualities of Lake Superior's cold water.
Dan, what is it that grabs you most about these Great Lakes shipwrecks?
I think what I appreciate most about them is, as in the case of the J.S. Sebring's, this is a time capsule. It's a snapshot into a moment in history when things have not been disturbed. Things are exactly as they were on May 12th of 1884.
Dan Fountain did all the detective work that helped a team of divers find the J.S. Sebring's that sank May 12, 1884 in Lake Superior, where she laid undiscovered until this team was able to find her. Dan, thanks so much for sharing your work with us.
My pleasure.